Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Money. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Eliezer did not hold Makshiri Mitzvah Dokinus as Shabbos, that the preliminaries of a mitzvah override Shabbos restrictions in regards to all mitzvahs. It's evident from the fact that he learns that the Makshiri Shtei HaLechem, the preliminaries of the mitzvah offering two loaves on Shavuos, override Shabbos restrictions from a Gezeres Shavah, from bringing the Omer, where the Makshiri mitzvah of reaping, grinding, and sifting the barley for the Omer are Dokens of Shabbos. Rashi explains that if Rabbi Eliezer held the Makshiri mitzvah Dokens of Shabbos in regards to all mitzvahs, why would he need to learn that the Shtei Alechem overrides Shabbos restrictions from a Gezeres Shavah? We see from here that he does not apply his leniency universally. Point number two, the Gemara seeks to find the mitzvahs that Rabbi Yochanan came to exclude when he said that Rabbi Eliezer does not permit Makshiri mitzvah for all mitzvahs. After determining that Rabbi Eliezer does hold Makshiri mitzvah Dokens of Shabbos applies to the mitzvahs of Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, and Shofar, the Gemara concludes that the two mitzvahs that are excluded are Tzitzis and Mezuzah. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and some say he said in the name of Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, that tying Tzitzis and writing a Mezuzah are not permitted on Shabbos, since one can renounce ownership of his garment and house, in which case the mitzvahs connected to them are no longer incumbent on him. Since such a potential exists, the Torah does not permit any Chilul Shabbos for their performance. And point number three, the Gemara determines that the four mitzvahs of Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, and Shofar all have a unique feature which precludes the possibility of learning out one from another that Makshiri mitzvah dokens of Shabbos. Lulav includes three other meanings. Sukkah is fulfilled both in the day and at night. Matzah is a mitzvah that applies to women as well. And the blowing of the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Machneses Zichron Shel Yisrael Lavin Shebishamayim, brings Yisrael's remembrance of their Father in heaven, and the Shofar blown in Yom Kippur on Yovel causes the release of Jewish slaves to their homes, and the ancestral fields revert to the original owners. So once again, the three points are number one. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Eliezer did not hold Makshiri mitzvah Dokens of Shabbos, that the preliminaries of a mitzvah override Shabbos restrictions in regards to all mitzvahs. It's evident from the fact that he learns that the Makshiri Shtei HaLechem, the preliminaries of the mitzvah of offering two loaves on Shavuos, override Shabbos restrictions from a Gezeres Shavah, from bringing the Omer, where the Makshiri mitzvah of reaping, grinding, and sifting the barley for the Omer are Dokens of Shabbos. Rashi explains that if Rabbi Eliezer held that Makshiri mitzvah dokinus a Shabbos in regards to all mitzvahs, why would he need to learn that the Shtei Alechem overrides Shabbos restrictions from a Gezeres Shavah? We see from here that he does not apply his leniency universally. Point number two, the Gemara seeks to find the mitzvahs that Rabbi Yochanan came to exclude when he said that Rabbi Eliezer does not permit Makshiri mitzvah for all mitzvahs. After determining that Rabbi Eliezer does hold Makshiri mitzvah dokinus a Shabbos applies to the mitzvahs of Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, and Shofar, the Gemara concludes that the two mitzvahs that are excluded are tzitzis and mezuzah. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and some say he said in the name of Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, that tying tzitzis and writing a mezuzah are not permitted on Shabbos, hoil b'yadul hafkiran, since one can renounce ownership of his garment and house, in which case the mitzvahs connected to them are no longer incumbent on him. Since such a potential exists, the Torah does not permit any chilul Shabbos for their performance. And point number three, the Gemara determines that the four mitzvahs of Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, and Shofar all have a unique feature which precludes the possibility of learning out from one another the Makshiri mitzvah Dokens of Shabbos. Lulav includes three other meanings. Sukkah is fulfilled both in the day and at night. Matzah is a mitzvah that applies to women as well. And the blowing of the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Machneses Zichron Shel Yisrael Lavin Shebishamayim, brings Yisrael's remembrance of their Father in heaven. And the Shofar blown in Yom Kippur of Yovel causes the release of Jewish slaves to their homes, and the ancestral fields revert to their original owners. All right, so now we go to our sim for Kuf Lamed Aleph, and we had a lot of suggestions for claws, bear claws, wolf claws, claw machines. Then we had Coca-Cola, Kool-Aid, koala bears, Kahlua. But I'm going to go with a suggestion that comes from the Giladi family from Brooklyn, as well as Moshe Raps and Sammy Raskas from Yerushalayim, who suggested a prison or jail cell, because Kela in Hebrew is a prison or jail cell. So jail cell is going to be our simon for Kela Kuf Lamed Aleph. So thank you very much to the Giladi family, Sammy and Moshe. So here goes. The inmate in the jail cell who ate two loaves of bread daily, tied tzitzis and wrote mezuzahs, dreamed of the day when he'd be free to bench lulav in a sukkah, eat matzah, and blow shofar. Once again, slow motion. The inmate in the jail cell, that must be on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, Kela. The inmate in the jail cell who ate two loaves of bread daily, which reminds us, Rabbi Chibar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Eliezer did not hold Makshiri Mitzvah Dochenes as Shabbos, that the preliminaries of a mitzvah override Shabbos restrictions in regards to all mitzvahs. It's evident from the fact that he learns from the Makshiri Shtei HaLechem, the preliminaries of the mitzvah of offering two loaves on Shavuos override Shabbos restrictions from a Gezeres Shava, from bringing the Omer, where the Makshiri Mitzvah of reaping, grinding, and sifting the barley for the Omer are Dochenes as Shabbos. Rashi explains that if Rabbi Eliezer held the Makshiri Mitzvah Dochenes as Shabbos in regards to all mitzvahs, why would he need to learn that the Shtei HaLechem overrides Shabbos restrictions from a Gezeres Shava? We see from here that he does not apply his leniency universally. So the inmate in the jail cell who ate two loaves of bread daily, tied tzitzis, and wrote mezuzahs, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to find the mitzvahs that Rabbi Yochanan came to exclude when he said that Rabbi Eliezer does not permit Makshiri Mitzvah for all mitzvahs. After determining that Rabbi Eliezer does hold that Makshiri Mitzvah Dochens of Shabbos applies to the mitzvahs of Luv, Sukkah, Matzah, and Shofar, the Gemara concludes that the two mitzvahs that are excluded are tzitzis and mezuzah. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and some say he said in the name of Rahuna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, that tying tzitzis and writing a mezuzah are not permitted on Shabbos, hoyol b'yadul hafkiran, since one can renounce ownership of his garment and house, in which case the mitzvahs connected to them are no longer a kamen on him. Since such a potential exists, the Torah does not permit any chil Shabbos for their performance. So the inmate in the jail cell who ate two loaves of bread daily, tied tzitzis, and wrote mezuzahs, dreamed of the day when he would be free to bench luv and a sukkah, eat matzah, and blow shofar. Which reminds us, the Gemara determines that the four mitzvahs of luv, sukkah, matzah, and shofar all have a unique feature, which precludes the possibility of learning out from one another the makshiri mitzvah dochens and Shabbos. Luv includes three other meanings. Sukkah is fulfilled both in the day and at night. Matzah is a mitzvah that applies to women as well. The blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, machneses zichron shel Yisrael, lahavin shebashamayim, brings Yisrael's remembrance of their father in heaven, and the shofar blown in Yom Kippur of Yovel causes the release of Jewish slaves to their homes, and the ancestral fields revert to their original owners. So once again, the inmate in the jail cell, who ate two loaves of bread daily, tied tzitzis and wrote mezuzahs, dreamed of the day when he would be free to bench luv and a sukkah, eat matzah, and blow shofar. Now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. So the sim for Kuf Chav Zayin is cookies. Here goes. A lot of cookies. Cookies, that means we're on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. A lot of cookies were baked for the shul fundraiser in the field, which is cleared for guests. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chav Vav Amabay stated that one may clear four or five boxes for Haknasas Orachim or Bittul Beis Midrash. The Gemara asks if the maximum number of five boxes applies even if one has numerous guests, or maybe if one has many guests, he may move up to five boxes per guest. The Gemara then asks that if the halacha is indeed that one can move five boxes per guest, can one person clear away all the boxes, or each person needs to clear away five boxes? The Gemara answers that the five-box limit is per guest, based on two incidents where Rebbe and Rebbe Chia went to a field and cleared away all the bundles, not just five, to make room for their Talmidim. The second question, whether one person may clear away all the boxes, is left unresolved, as it's assumed that Rebbe did not clear away the bundles himself, but rather instructed others to do so. So a lot of cookies were baked for the shul fundraiser in the field, which is cleared for guests, as members were encouraged to do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a number of teachings about the virtue of Hachnasas Orchim. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Gadol Hachnasas Orchim HaKabbalas B'nei Shechina. Receiving guests is greater than greeting the divine presence, which he learns from Avram Avinu, who asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu not to leave when he went to receive guests. Rabbi Elazar said, Bavar Eish Hol Kamidas Kodesh Baruch Hu Midas Bas V'dam. Come and observe how different is the way of a Kodesh Baruch from the way of flesh and blood. According to the way of flesh and blood, one of lower station cannot tell one of higher station, wait here until I can come back to you. Whereas with the Kodesh Baruch, Avram said, Im na matzasi chen be'inecha, al na savor me'avdecha. If I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass away from your servant. And then he went to his guests. So a lot of cookies were baked for the shul fundraiser in the field, which is cleared for guests, as members were encouraged to do the mitzvah of Chnasas Orchim and to judge favorably if their friends didn't give. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Hadan chaveru chavschus, danin oso l'schus. One who judges his fellow man favorably is himself judged favorably. An incident is brought about one who left home and labored for 3 years. On Erev Yom Kippur, the day of his return home, his employer told him that he had no money, produce, land, animals, or even pillows and cushions to pay him. The man left dejected and returned home. When his employer eventually traveled to pay him, He asked the laborer what he had thought when he told him that he has nothing to pay him with, and the laborer proceeded to share how he judged him favorably in each of the instances. The employer paid him handsomely and said, "Kishem shedantani l'schus, hamakum yadin oscha l'schus. Just as you've judged me favorably, so too should the omnipresent judge you favorably." And the Shiltas brings that the employer was the Tana of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and the employee was Rabbi Akiva. Daf Kuf Chav Ches. So the Simper Kuf Chav Ches is 100 strong men. So here goes. The 100 strong men competition, 100 strong men, that means we're on Daf Kuf Chav Ches. The 100 strong men competition featured moving raw unsalted meat, which reminds us, it was stated that it is permitted to move raw salted meat on Shabbos because it's edible. But there's machlokas on the rhyme whether one can move raw unsalted meat. Rav Huna says it's permitted to move it while Rav Chisda prohibits it. The Gemara asks how Rav Huna can permit moving it, given that he's a Talmud of Rav, who held in the corns Rabbi Yehuda, who applies muksa laws broadly, and would certainly prohibit moving the raw, unsalted meat. The Gemara answers that Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to eating muksa, but with regards to moving muksa, Rav held like Rabbi Shimon, who rules leniently and permits it. So the 100 strongman competition featured moving raw, unsalted meat into pillowcases to help an animal get out of a stream. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if an animal fell into a stream of water on Shabbos and is unable to get out, one may bring pillows and cushions and place them beneath it so they can step on them and get out. The Gemara asks how one is permitted to use the pillows and cushions since one is mevatzeh kli me'echano. He's nullifying the kli from its preparedness. Rashi explains that when the animal steps on top of the pillows and cushions, they become abasis of the muksa animal and therefore they become muksa themselves. This is prohibited to do because it's likened to the malach of Soser, of destroying. The Gemara answers that Rav holds Tsar Bal Chaim Deraisa, causing pain to an animal, is a Deraisa, Vasi Deraisa V'dachi Derabanan, and therefore the Deraisa overrides the Rabbanan of Mevatta Koy Mehechano. So the 100 strongman competition featured moving raw unsalted meat into pillowcases to help an animal get out of a stream, and then lighting a lamp for a blind woman about to give birth to put her at ease. Which reminds us that the second mission on the Daf states that one may help a woman deliver her child on Shabbos, summon a midwife from a distant place, and be Machal Shabbos on her account. The Gemara seeks to clarify what the mission is adding by stating that one may be Machal Shabbos for. It brings a Brisa that teaches that one of the things that is permitted is to light a lamp for her. So the Gemara asks, why would it be necessary to teach that lighting a lamp for her is permitted since her life is in danger, and therefore one can obviously be Machal Shabbos for? The Gemara answers that the case here is dealing with a blind woman. One might have thought that since she cannot benefit directly from the lit lamp, it would prohibit it to light it for her. The Brisa is coming to teach that it can be lit to put her mind more at ease, knowing that whatever is needed pertaining to her well-being can now be done. Daf Kuf Chav Tes. So the symbol of Kuf Chav Tes is a cactus. So here goes. After the med students learned about the three stages of recovery after childbirth, which reminds us, the Rabbanan from the Ardal ruled that there are three stages in the recovery of a woman that has just given birth, with different halachas regarding when one is permitted to be Machal Shabbos for. During the first 3 days, whether she says she needs it or she says she doesn't need it, we're Machal Shabbos for. From the end of 3 days until the end of 7 days, we're Machal Shabbos for if she says she needs it. From the end of 7 days until the end of 30 days, we're not Machal Shabbos for, even if she says she needs it, but we can have a Gentile do the malacha for her. So after the med students learned about the three stages of recovery after childbirth, they learned how to do bloodlettings with cactus plants on barefoot patients. Which reminds us, much of the Daf addresses the importance of proper care following Hakazas Adam, a bloodletting. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that one should sell even the beams of his house, if necessary, to buy shoes for his feet. Rashi explains that there's nothing more disgraceful than one who walks barefoot in public. Nevertheless, if one let blood and has nothing to eat afterwards, he should sell even the shoes that are on his feet to buy himself a proper meal. So after the med students learned about the three stages of recovery after childbirth, they learned how to do bloodlettings with cactus plants on barefoot patients, reminding them not to stand up too fast. Which reminds us, it was taught that there are five things that bring a person closer to death than to life. If one eats and stands up immediately, if one drinks and stands up immediately, if one sleeps and stands up immediately, if one undergoes a bloodletting and stands up immediately, and if one engages in tashmisha mita, conjugal relations, and stands up immediately. Daf Kuf Lamed. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed is a chazan with a beautiful voice, a kol. So here goes. The chazan with a beautiful voice. Chazan with a beautiful voice. That must mean Ron Daf Kuf Lamed. The chazan with a beautiful voice sang joyously as the mila knife was carried, exposed for all to see. Which reminds us, the opening mishnah of the 19th perek introduces Malchokas regarding whether one can be Malchal Shabbos for Sarche Mila, the needs for the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Rabbi Yazir says that if one did not bring the izmal, the knife for performing the milah erev Shabbos, he may carry it on Shabbos. He should bring the knife exposed, except in times when there was a governmental decree on doing a bris milah, in which case he should cover it in the presence of witnesses. Furthermore, Rabbi Yazir holds that one may even cut down a tree to make charcoal in order to make the knife. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and introduces a call that any malacha that can be performed erev Shabbos does not push aside Shabbos restrictions. So the chazan with a beautiful voice sang joyously as the milah knife was carried exposed for all to see, when all of a sudden a quarrel broke out over a ksuba, which reminds us it was taught in a brayta that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that any mitzvah the Jewish people accepted upon themselves with simcha, such as bris milah, as it says, sasa nechi al mirasecha, kemotzi shalal rav, I rejoice over your word like one who finds abundant spoils, they still perform with simcha. Rashi explains that David HaMelech was upset when he went to the bathhouse and felt naked from mitzvahs until he saw his milah, and his mind was set at ease. Imrasecha, your word, in the singular, is referring to bris milah, the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people before other words were given. The Jewish people as well rejoice over this mitzvah, which is there at all times. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel continues and says that any mitzvah the Jewish people accepted upon themselves bekatata, contentiously, such as arayas, the prohibition against incestuous relationships with one's relatives, they still observe contentiously. The leka ksuba de l'rama batigra, for there is no ksuba in which the two sides do not quarrel. So the chazan with the beautiful voice sang joyously as the milah knife was carried exposed for all to see, when all of a sudden a quarrel broke out over a ksuba that was resting in a mavui that had no shittuf. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Asi whether a mavui where no shittuf was done, and therefore the courtyards were not merged, is similar to a courtyard where the residents did not make an erev, and just as the residents can carry an object that was resting in the courtyard erev Shabbos on Shabbos, so too they can carry an object that was resting in the mavui erev Shabbos in the mavui on Shabbos. Or perhaps the mavui does not have the same halach as the courtyard, either because the courtyard has four partitions and the mavui only has three, or perhaps because the courtyard has residents and the mavui does not. Initially, Rabbi Asi was silent, but on a subsequent occasion, he recalled being told of an incident in which a knife was brought from one end of a mavui that had no shittuf to the other end, in order that a milah could be performed. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff do we learn that Tzar Balei Chaim is docha, that the Rabbanan of Mevatel Kol Yemei Hachano? That's on Daf Kuf Chav Ches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about the machlokes about when you can tip a stone off a barrel? That's on Daf Kuf Chav He. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that the mitzvahs that we accepted with simcha are still done bis simcha? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that the mitzvahs of lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar cannot be learned out from one another? That's on Daf Kuflam it off. Good. Number 5. Which have to learn how we know that Rabbi Eliezer does not apply Makshiri Mitzvah Dokins of Shabbos to all mitzvahs? That's on Daf. Kuflam it off. Good. Number 6. Which daf to Machlok is whether one can be Machal Shabbos Pitzarche Mila? That's on Daf. Kuflam it. Good. Number 7. Which daf to learn when one can be Machal Shabbos for a woman after childbirth? That's on Daf. Kuf Chav Tes. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that straw can be cleared for Haknasas Orchim in Bittel Beis Midrash, even though there is Tircha involved? That's on Daf Kuf Chav Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that Rabbi Gezer does not apply Makshiri Mitzvah Dokhin Zeshabbos to the mitzvahs of Tzitzes and Mezuzah? That's on Daf Kuf Lamedav. Good. And number 10. Which daf of Machlokes is whether all kelim cover require handles or just ground covers? Do that's on Daf Kuf Chav Vav. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Which daf do we learn that one should not call Avraham Avram? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that Bracha Rishona is based on Svara? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Good. And number 3, which daf do we learn that the bracha of Hatova Meitiv and Birchas Amazon is a Durabanan? That's on Daf Memvav. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.